Hey, welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast.
Woohoo! Yeah, we had Shane do it because he kept making me laugh when I was saying it. Brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
What's up, baby?
At DFF underscore Madman. And Shane Manila.
Something witty goes here.
At DFF underscore Shane. And before we get started, Shane, you said something about you had a prepared statement you wanted to make.
Yeah, I have a prepared statement. I've been working on this overnight. So this is for, and if everyone will indulge me, this will be one of the few times. Oh, wait, I talk about my leagues all the time. All
right, so
this is regarding my a league I'm in, Smarter Than NFL GM Contracts League. Hello, this is Shane Manila. I apologize sincerely and in totality for forcing the auction draft to have to be restarted because I was unfamiliar with one of the rules. And I do apologize deeply. I am humbled by this experience, and I promise I will do better in the future. God bless America.
Okay, that's great. Now we have to explain it to people because, explain it to me too. Fortunately, I didn't end up being in that league. And what happened? What'd you do?
Okay, well, basically, I was a little confused. The amounts being bid, mind you, this is a salary cap league auction. So it's a whole new ball game for me. I won't lie. I've never done both together. So we nominate by salary. I was under the impression that salary was for the entire contract. So at one point, I believe I bid $75 million on Carson Wentz. Or it might have been 80. Whatever it worked out to.
I nominated him.
in my head, it worked out to $18.75 million a year over a four-year contract. So if any, there's mathematicians listening. So I was like, this is awesome. This is great. So the commissioner, Brett, what's up, Brad? Private messaged me and said, hey, are you sure about the salary? And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's a little high, but I really like Carson Wentz. But I don't think 18.75 over 4 years is especially brutal. And I don't even know if he responded to me directly, but definitely responded to the group like, yeah, Shane doesn't understand. We're gonna have to fix it.
Yeah, I know Jeremy and I set that league up for a while and then some things happened where I didn't get to be in the league. So that's pretty funny. I didn't hear that happened. So you
it wasn't just Wentz. Yeah, I nominated Amari Cooper at like 50 million, Saquon Barkley at another 80.
So they literally restarted the whole auction?
Well, here's the great thing. First, he was actually going to just restart those specific bids. And basically turn back the clock, you know, as if Shane didn't screw it up. As soon as he did that, he fixed it. Someone else went in and did the same thing and put, I think, like $100 million on Kenyon Drake. And there's no way he didn't think exactly like I did. Like, this is the contract. This is for 4 years.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
so then at that point,
30% of his salary cap on Kenyon Drake.
and it wasn't just me or that guy. There was another guy that did the same thing with Leonard Fournette. It's just that I was, as usual, the most egregious because I was like, well, fuck it, I'm going to do it. You know, here's five guys. So at that point, he was like, yeah, I think we're just going to restart this draft.
And I'm at the Willie Nelson concert, and Brad's texting me. And I'm like, you know what? I think we just need to start this thing over. We've had some glitches, some things go haywire here and there. Let's just start it over. We're not that far into it. And he asked everybody. I think the consensus was to do that. But Sipes, you would have loved the fact that I was the first person to nominate players when this thing kicked off. And my first two players I nominated were Carson Wentz and Saquon Barkley, two guys that I knew Shane wanted. So I got them on the board early for him.
That's great.
It was like and I, a steak here's the dog, thing. Dude.
I won Saquon Barkley $75 million, and he's starting to look really appetizing, really good. Like, that's a good price right now because you got Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott sitting on the board all at $77 million. And he's in that tier. I don't care what people say. He's a rookie or whatever. He's Barry Sanders, baby, except that he's a better receiver.
The funny thing is, you know, later on in the show, that's one of the things we were going to talk about is some tips and some things to look for and be careful with. Be careful with now has a whole new meaning when you're doing an auction draft. Yeah, so that was one of the things we're going to talk about later on in the show. But before we get started with that, we wanted to talk about the news. And obviously, the biggest news story that everybody keeps talking about is Jameis.
That's our breaking news.
Great.
We can't afford, we can't afford music on our podcast. So I have to do that.
Well, there might be.
Jameis.
Yeah.
Jameis. He's apparently going to be suspended for three games for groping an Uber driver. Now, I actually did a little research into this because, you know, I guess apparently I've become the voice of morality on this podcast.
The voice of reason.
Wait, Jeremy, how did he become the voice of morality over us two?
Yeah, I'm the morality police. Sure. Now, meanwhile, in real life, I don't care what anyone does. I'm like, hey, you want to smoke crack, sell your body on the street, whatever. It's your life. But anyway, I'm just talking about past experience.
Enough about you.
Anyway, exactly.
Enough about you, right?
So his suspension stems from groping an Uber driver in March 2016. And Deadspin actually had an interesting article on this. Now, normally, I would say, it's a little sketchy to me. He's a little worrisome to me now because of, you know, he was accused of rape in college and
stealing crab legs from grocery stores.
Yeah, some other that stuff, not so much. You know what I mean? Whatever, that's dumb kid stuff. Who hasn't stolen something from somewhere? Anyway, but so here's the thing. And Deadspin, this is courtesy Deadspin. So if Deadspin would like to give us a shout out, that'd be awesome. Anyway, Deadspin had a story today about one of the gentlemen that was out with Jameis and Ronald Darby that evening in March 2016. And basically, his story conflicts with Jameis's story. But the more interesting part about that I found, or the more concerning part, I should say, is the guy he was out with is Brandon Banks, a former Vanderbilt. Uh-huh. I can't speak English, but he was a former Vanderbilt University football player who happened to be sentenced to 15 years in prison for a rape that took place in 2013. And at the
That's
time,
a good friends he has there.
Yeah, and at the time of this event in March 2016, the guy had been arrested. He had been pending trial. His trial took place in August 2017. Okay. So you've been accused of rape in your past. That's in your past. So, and then you decide that one of the people that you should hang out with is another guy that's going to trial for rape.
Really bad.
I understand sticking by your friends. I do. I get it. But at some point, you have to go, you know what? This is a terrible look, and I probably shouldn't be hanging out with this guy, knowing that, you know, my history. So that's deeply concerning to me, his decision making processes. And before anyone starts their whole, oh, this doesn't relate to football. Well, decision-making relates to football. If a guy continually does the wrong things on the football field, it'd be open game to say, I don't know. I don't trust his decision-making on third down because he's thrown 15 interceptions this year. And that's
what affects fantasy football too, Shane.
Exactly. Well, and that's all I care about.
Because it affects your rankings. It's going to affect my rankings. I mean, I don't really think Derek Carr is the best quarterback out there, but then again, I don't have to worry about Derek Carr doing anything other than maybe skipping church one Sunday.
Exactly. I was just going
to
say
we're going to too much church, but yeah. And, you know, honestly, how people live their lives, that's none of my business, but the decisions people make, stuff like that, that's just it really does cause me some pause on him. And I wouldn't say I'm selling him in every league because I know some people that I'm in leagues with are listen to this show. But let's just say when he comes back from suspension and if he lights it up for several weeks, I will be selling as soon as possible because I don't want someone like that on the team that continually makes not just poor life decisions, makes life decisions that could get them suspended and or arrested and convicted and thrown out of the league.
I know, Jeremy, you had mentioned when we were getting ready for the show that you did actually trade Winston.
Yeah, it's in a one quarterback league. I had just traded for Aaron Rodgers. I have Pat Mahomes and I have Jameis Winston, Pat Mahomes were my leading quarterback. So I traded for Aaron Rodgers and I got him on my roster. And I immediately knew I would. The biggest reason for getting Rodgers was that I wanted to trade Winston. And a guy offered me a 2019 second round pick for Jameis Winston, and I thought about it, and then I didn't trade before the trade, the week was up that he left the trade out there. And then I decided when I heard this news, I'm going to see if I can get that 2019 second. I don't need Jameis Winston. And the guy traded anyway, fully knowing that there was an up to whatever 8-game suspension or something he mentioned. I said, I'm sure it's probably going to be less than that, but that's not really the only reason I'm trading him. I almost accepted your offer before. I mean, this is a one quarterback league. Can you expect to get more than a 2019 second for Jameis Winston, regardless of the suspension?
No. In a one quarterback league?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good value,
I don't expect. Yeah, I don't expect to get more than a second for any quarterback, really, in a one quarterback league.
In one quarterback leagues, there's no need to hang on to him. You have other options. So if you can trade him for another quarterback, I probably would do that. It's not like his numbers have been amazing. And, so get a different quarterback.
Wow.
He's been okay. I like the guy, but in one quarterback leagues, no need to hang on to the risky player.
I love Shane's face.
In one QB league, seriously, there's no reason at all to hold on to him because it's one quarterback. You can find freaking 7 starters on the waivers usually, unless you have guys that are just being jerk-offs and hoarding them. I do that in one of my leagues. I got like 5 quarterbacks and one quarterback.
It is funny though, Shane. You're always saying how Superflex is the way to go. I actually only have 2 leagues left that are one quarterback. Everything else is Superflex. And all those leagues I have Jameis in, with the exception of one, is all Superflex. He's my second guy.
Sure.
But,
like I said, so in Superflex, what I'm doing is I'm holding him right now. I'm never going to try to trade a guy at when his value is diminished, unless I just think there's nowhere else it can go from there. Like that's, there's a level that even beyond below that they'll reach. But in his case, I'll hold on to him, let him get a few weeks into the season. He should have a decent year, assuming he's going to be healthy. If he can give me 4 or 5 solid weeks, everyone will forget about it because, that's what we do. We forget about things. And then at that point, I will try to trade him.
Well, we were talking about some high-risk players before this happened, and then, you also had Martavis Bryant this week, which nothing officially has happened, but I know you kept speaking about it before we did the show, and what do you think's going on there with him?
I have no idea, but this is just, that again, the type of player where does the risk outweigh the reward? And in Martavis Bryant's case, I think it does. There's just he hasn't been a productive fantasy player since the Truman administration, give or take.
It's been a couple of years.
It's been a few years, and at this point there's reports that no one's been notified of a suspension, but everybody that follows fantasy football, dynasty football, has seen the reports out there. I believe they started this week that he might get suspended. So he's another guy, and I've received a couple offers for him that I actually didn't like, and I did turn down. But if I get an offer that's decent, that I'm okay with, or even is slightly less than decent, he's gone. I just, first of all, I don't think he's as good as everyone thought he was anyway.
Exactly.
Same.
Two, I don't know. Look, weed apparently is a hell of a drug and it's addictive, I guess. And not that there's anything wrong with smoking weed, except that the NFL is, not a fan of it. So,
well, it is kind of funny because, you made a list of some of these high risk players.
Oh, I made a list.
Well, yeah, you made a list. I mean, we were going over some high risk players before the show, but you made a list, and there's a couple of them that the high risk is just the weed. I mean, that's the thing that's the risk. And what's funny is people always say, well, it's just weed. fine, whatever. But it's the policy of the NFL that you can't do it. So regardless of whether you think it's just weed, if you're going to be in the NFL and you're going to take this money, then you can't do what they're telling you not to do.
Or at least don't get caught. See, here's the thing, well, right?
So that, but don't get caught. Don't do it. You're making millions of dollars. Chill out for a little bit.
I'm sure we all had friends that were on probation when we were younger, right?
Yeah, sure.
No. Kiss me?
No. Okay.
No, I did. Right. I had some friends.
Okay. Well, I had lots of friends that were on probation when I was younger. And, you know, there was pills you could take that would help. There was supplements. There was teas. Wow. Oh, wait, but that's a diluted sample. That might be helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're way off track now.
And, I'm sorry.
And Jeremy's from Ohio, so that stuff didn't happen in Ohio, you know? So.
Oh, it happened.
I think it happens. Just I rolled with, I guess, a little higher crowd than you guys, higher in a different way.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well,
so a couple other guys I have on this list.
That's obviously what I was just going to say. Talk about some of these high-risk guys.
Josh Gordon. For me, again, he's another guy that is one strike away, and he seems, from outward appearances, from what we've seen on Twitter and, you know, NFL channels or whatever, that he seems to have kick that habit. But he's a guy that I'm fine with missing out on whatever wide receiver one numbers he might have in the future, because I'm not paying a first round rookie pick. I'm not paying any known commodities.
No, not for the risk on top. Yeah, not for the risk. And on top of that, he had those two really good seasons. One was great. You know, is he going to do that again? The funny thing about it is he might not be doing those illicit drugs anymore, or, you know, smoking weed and all the sort of stories I heard from him at Baylor and just the poor decision making. You know, bad.
Wait, you heard from him directly?
Yeah, he told me he carried a gun to school and stuff like that. You know, just some really stupid, stupid shit. But now he looks like he's taking steroids, like he's best friends with Mark McGwire and all those guys from the MLB, man. He's jacked up. He's like, you know, his physique looks insane. So I think he might get busted for performance-enhancing drugs now. I don't know.
Oh, well, that's fine. The NFL's not that, you know, that's not a big deal. I mean, you get the 4 games, but no one's ever had a lifetime ban for performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it's weed,
man. They're okay with that. Yeah.
You can't smoke weed. It's the killer drug.
Oh, God.
So another guy we have on here, and just because we're on that whole weed strain. Oh, I'm sorry. We're on the whole weed thing. Lev Bell. Now, here's a guy that I'm actually not worried about anymore.
Anymore. We've talked about him over the last couple of months, but you're right. It's been very quiet on his front about the weed stuff, but he is still holding out right now, isn't he?
Don't care. Look at he's held out before, and he's shown that it doesn't matter.
Okay.
When he's on the field, he's going to get you 20 points a week probably. And you're going to win your running back one matchup against anyone. And he's just that much better. The last suspension was going on 2 years ago now.
Yeah, that's true.
The holdout, I don't give a shit. I hope that he never goes to a training camp or mini camp or whatever they call them anymore until he gets his money. No player should. They should all hold out for the NFL.
How do you feel about it?
So, in other words, then you say there's like this, there's a time limit then of the high risk goes away if it's been, like you say, a couple years. I guess you're right. He didn't get in trouble last year for weed, right? So it's been two seasons.
I think he put out a bad rap album, but I mean, you're not going to get suspended for that. So yeah, I'll tell you right now, if Josh Gordon gets through this year without, and I don't even care if the year is wildly productive, but if he can get through the year without any hint of a drug suspension and say he only goes out there and throws up 900 yards, I'd be all over him.
Yep.
Well, cool. Well, before we talk about the auction stuff that we were going to talk about, we got to talk about our sponsors, gtbets.eu.
Got to talk about the talking about that we're going to talk about.
We got to talk about, exactly. gtbets.eu is the official sponsor of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. Are you looking to get in on some action in today's games? Head on over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs with updated odds covering all the major sports. The bottom line, gtbets.eu will have you placing your first bet within minutes with their simple-to-use registration process. So register now and earn up to $500 in free money. Simply add Trades HQ in the referred by field to get the highest possible welcome bonus. And I mean, I'm sure everybody's on there right now betting on soccer, right, Shane?
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest with you. I watched a little soccer today, and it was pretty exciting stuff. It was Germany and I believe Sweden or Iceland or I don't know, some place in Europe. I'm an American. I have no idea about Europe. And that was actually, it was pretty exciting. Like, I think that might have been the first time in a lot of years that I sat down and actually watched a soccer game.
Bad. But we were going to talk about auction drafts. I mean, now that
trade alert!
Ah, oh, Jesus. All right, before we talk about the auction, let's talk about the trade alert. What do you got there, Shane?
Was
scared
that
the shit out of me.
That was loud. I apologize. Loud. Yeah, in editing, you might want to turn that down.
Yeah, because you scared me, so I'll work on that. But go ahead. What do you got there?
So, you know, I've got an ongoing FFPC draft. Superflex, word. So the first round was a little, like a lot of, everybody's trying to trade back, basically. And I saw that and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go outside my comfort zone here. And instead of trying to trade back like everyone else, I'm going to trade up. Now, part of the reason for that was around 105-ish, I noticed, oh, Odell Beckham's still on the board because we're all in love with running backs now, and Odell Beckham clearly is not that good anymore. So I traded up to the 1-7 to draft Odell Beckham because he's the number one dynasty asset in any format, and if you disagree with me, you're probably wrong. Now, my side,
obviously, and we've had this conversation
I gave up a million times. And these are startup picks. I gave up the 3-10 and the 4-3. I gave up a 2019 first-round draft pick because why not? And a 2019 third-round draft pick. In return, I got the 107, the 1107, fourth and a fifth rounder in 2019. And like I said, the 107 was used to draft Odell Beckham Jr.
So wait. This is a startup, and you got two first round picks in this startup. So you got Odell, what did you give up again?
I gave up the 3-10 and the 4-3 and a 2019 first and third.
That doesn't really make any sense. That's an awesome trade for you. You got two picks. He's, for those of you who can't see him, he's doing a dance and everything. So you got two. So who did you take with the 111 then?
Well, actually, I had the 110. So at the 110, which was my pick, my initial pick, I went ahead and grabbed Mike Evans. Another guy that, you know, I'm madly in love with.
Yeah, no, I unless I'm misunderstanding what you're saying, I think that's a fucking...
Do you want me to draw a diagram?
Yeah, because I think that's a great trade for you, and that's pretty awesome, actually.
I was pretty happy with this trade, I'm not going to lie. I wanted to trade up. Like I said, I didn't see anyone else moving up. I felt Odell Beckham was dropping, and I wanted to get up and get him. And I didn't want to risk him getting the 110 because he shouldn't, because that's just ridiculous.
Sure.
So I couldn't see him falling any further than that.
Yeah, look at this. 107, 1107. Oh, 1107. I thought you said the 111. Okay. Yeah, I still think that's a great trade for you. Yeah. So what do you think, Jeremy? You like that trade or what's the deal?
Yeah, man, I'd do it. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, I would do.
I hate when we all agree.
I know it does seem kind of weird when we all agree, but in this case,
I think it was a no-brainer. Yeah.
Yeah, in this case, I think it's pretty good.
Why not?
I'd
take it.
Moving up back, you know, into the first, or getting an additional first-round pick, and not having to give up your second rounder, especially when I was in the back end of the first. You know, I got an early second. I'm not good with math. I believe it was like the 202. 1, 12, 11, 12, 2, 1, 2, 2. So it was like the 202, I believe. And I didn't want to give that up. And actually, I am terrible at math because it was the 203.
All right. Well, either way, you're coming out of the startup with Odell Beckham and Mike Evans. And I think you did pretty good with that. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, here, we can trash my next pick. I want Joe Mixon at the 203.
Oh, God. I already want to trash it.
There you go. All right.
Do you really? But like, I don't necessarily want to try. How many teams? 12 teams. And at the 203, what was gone before you got to Joe Mixon at 203?
I mean, obviously all the top wide receiver, or excuse me, all the wide receiver one types. I mean, Keenan Allen was still sitting out there. Julio Jones, which in hindsight, I probably should have picked Julio Jones at 203, and just
I would have taken either of those receivers over Joe Mixon.
At 203, that means 12 plus 3, that's 15 players. There wasn't a better running back. I mean, I like Joe Mixon, but there wasn't a better running back at 203 than Joe Mixon.
I mean, it depends on your preference there. Do you think Leonard Fournette or Devontae Freeman or Christian McCaffrey are better long term than Joe Mixon?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying.
I'd say all.
If
of them.
You do, you're wrong. Well, except for Leonard Fournette, I mean, and Devontae Freeman. Christian McCaffrey is debatable because of his receiving prowess, and I love Devontae Freeman. I just, you know, it's going on to what is fourth or fifth year in the league. Running backs have a short shelf life. There's a reason for that, except for the outliers, like, you know, Shady.
Yeah, I think I would go back to what Jeremy said, and I would have taken Julio Jones.
I actually said that. Looking at it now, I should have taken Julio Jones.
Or even Keenan Allen, honestly. He's underrated. I think Keenan Allen would have been a great pick there, too. Not saying that was a bad pick. I just wouldn't have taken him.
You could say it's a bad pick.
I wouldn't have taken him over those other guys, no.
Yeah, no, look, I'm looking at the board right now, and I'm realizing, you know what? I probably should have just taken Julio Jones.
Nice.
Like, that's where you're getting too cute in Dynasty. Like, well,
I'll tell you
Julio
what.
Is 29.
Okay, but wait. There is another factor to this. You traded away your third and fourth round pick. So at the second round, you needed to take a running back. So if you felt
you didn't need to.
Well, I mean, you weren't going to get another pick till the fifth round. So if you felt like he was better than the other guys, then I guess I could see why you take him. Because, right, you don't pick again till five unless you make another trade. Which
I've made several trades in this league. There's a lot going on.
I've done a bunch of startups this year, and that's what I seem to end up doing a lot in these startups is just trading the entire freaking time.
Really, I'll tell you what. This is what I wanted to say about the FFPC. I've only done one draft there, and these guys that play in these leagues, and Shane's in a few now. These guys are crazy, man. They trade like it's going out of style. Every pick almost seems like somebody's offering me multiple trades on every pick. And I'll be honest, I didn't trade at all in my FFPC draft. It's the first one I did. I wanted to kind of get a feel for it. So I went veteran heavy. I only came away with two rookies, Cortland Sutton and Ito Smith, running back. You know, I didn't go youth heavy. I went veteran heavy, and I figured I'll keep all my picks next year, and I'll just try to set up myself to at least compete this year, and just kind of get a feel for it. Multiple picks and spots moved around. I'm not even smart enough to keep up with the number of picks people were throwing at me for a start. I'm like, wait a second, let me try to figure this out. All right, I'm gonna go to this, do this regression testing on this. I'm like, hey, wait, net present value. Oh, hell, I don't know. I'm just going to draft a player. I don't know what to do with that. And Shane, man, these are the perfect leagues for you because you love to trade. I mean, you're a trader.
I will say that I am more restrained than I was in my younger days because my back can't handle it. I did make a few trades in this, though. So I did end up getting two 2019 first round rookie picks.
Oh,
so yeah, I don't know. Look, I look back at the end of these things and I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I like that there. That was good.
It is funny.
My quarterbacks are a little weak. I'm not going to lie.
It is funny. I don't know how many rookie drafts I've had over the last month, but I don't think there was one draft that I had where I didn't do at least three or four trades. I mean, I've done so many trades during these drafts because it's crazy. People are very receptive to doing it, and I've had a lot of fun with these drafts doing these trades.
Well, if you're not trading during your rookie draft, assuming you have picks, you're doing it wrong. You should be attempting to trade every second round pick for next year's first, every third round pick for next year two, and every fourth for next year third.
Yeah, I just did that. I was talking to you about that, Shane. I was like, hey, I'm in this draft and I have the 305 and I'm going to trade it. There were a couple players on the board that I considered taking, like even Antonio Callaway. I really wanted to pick him, but ultimately I traded it for a 2019 second. That's probably going to be an upper half 2019 second, and I'd rather have that. But yeah, rookie drafts, That's where I do a lot of trading. Startup drafts, you know, I used to trade more. Now I'm just pretty savvy, especially early on, and I might trade later picks. But early on, I just, depending on where my spot is, you know, early, middle, late, I just go for, you know, stacking my roster. I don't find myself trading as much. But rookie picks, man, that's a lot of fun. That's where I like to do that.
It's funny.
Well,
I'm
yeah, okay. In startups, I'll just cut you off.
I know, and I just automatically say go ahead because I know you're gonna cut me off.
You cut me off. All right, go ahead. But yeah, I mean, even rookie picks in startup drafts, dude, they don't mean anything to me during the draft.
No,
like they're just capital to move around the board. I think one of the trades I made is I dropped back around in either round 10 or 11 and someone threw in a first. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'll take that.
Well, I was going to say about trading in a startup right now, I'm in a kitchen sink league and it's an auction league. And I've done quite a few trades to get auction money to be able to bid during stuff. And I know we were going to talk about auctions. You know, we have the high stakes auction league that we did, which we mentioned at the beginning of the show. But, you know, not only trading for rookie picks, but in an auction draft, you trade for rookie money. And people do a lot of crazy trades. I mean, in this kitchen sink league, you have money for devies, you have money for rookies, you have money for startups. So you have three different monies that you have to juggle all at the same time. And it's been kind of interesting doing. And I know we wanted to discuss about auctions, you know, because a lot of people out there that are listening to the show, most people do these.
Wait.
What?
We'll get there. Let's get to our Trash Dynasty trade.
Well, then interrupt me and say Trash Dynasty trade, because I already started. Well,
I don't do Trash Dynasty trade yellings. I only do it for Trade Alert. Do you not listen to our show?
Listen, I never listen to you anymore. I listen to the show 50 times in a row when I edit it. What are you talking about? Okay, never mind. I was going to move on, but you want to talk about a Trash Dynasty trade? Go ahead. Talk about your Trash Dynasty trade.
Is this another prepared statement?
No more prepared statements.
Okay, good.
And after you do your trash, I'll go back to what I was trying to say, but go ahead.
Anyway, so a good Twitter buddy of mine, Corey, at CSnyder128, he shared this with me. And I forget if he said I should talk about it on the pod or not, but I don't really give a shit. Hopefully he did, but if he didn't and his league mate gets salty, whatever, he should, because it's not a good trade offer. So he was offered Alshon Jeffrey for Marquise Goodwin, 2019 third, and T.Y. Hilton.
Wait.
Yeah, I buried the lead there.
They offered him, here, you can have Alshon Jeffrey. Give me Marquise Goodwin, T.Y. Hilton, and a third.
Yes. Give me the better wide receiver straight up. And why don't you finish me off on top?
Jeremy, you're very quiet. What are you? I'm laughing at the finishing me off part.
I'm looking at this right now. I was only half listening to Shane right there. But C. Snyder, your good buddy, whose name you don't know.
I know it's Corey. I didn't know the handle. I don't know your handle. Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't even know us. But what were you saying?
Oh, I'm looking at this trade now. So, so I'm taking a gander at. Actually, I was grabbing a beer just then.
Oh, okay.
But I had you guys. I had the headset off, and I was listening to you guys across the room. So. Alshon Jeffrey for Goodwin, Hilton, and a three. And I didn't even see what side was yours. So, I don't know, man. I love Alshon Jeffrey, right, Sipes? But the other side, Hilton, Goodwin, the third. I don't know, man. I don't like getting a bunch of stuff like your buddy with the, you need a meaty sack. I just want, you know, usually I just want one player who's marginally better than the other players in my starting lineup, or better, I have marginal, you know, they're marginally better than the starters on my competitor's team. So in that case, that would, for me, would be Alshon Jeffrey would be marginally better. Hilton, man, he used to be the T.Y. Hilton superstar, but I just don't, I mean, you're getting a lot of stuff from that other side, including the third, but I don't care about that third. I don't know, man. I think I like the Jeffrey side. And I don't care if people think I'm wrong.
No, I agree with you. I like the Jeffrey side, too. I'm not completely sure why this is that way. Shane, I know you just walked away for a second, but Jeremy and I both like the Alshon Jeffrey side. So,
oh, you're both wrong.
No.
I'm sorry.
I mean, look, why
Hilton by himself is better than Alshon Jeffrey. Get out of here. Alshon Jeffrey had a okay season for the Eagles last year and a down year for wide receivers. And I like Alshon Jeffrey. But T.Y. Hilton is wide receiver one upside. Alshon Jeffrey is wide receiver two upside.
I don't know about that. I love T.Y. Hilton, but I just – Goodwin in the third interests me at all. Basically, this trade for me is Jeffrey for Hilton. Yeah, so you have to decide what side you're on. Goodwin, who knows, man? He did okay for the first time ever last year in San Francisco. They're looking for somebody. He's not going to be anything but wouldn't want to say like – he's going to be a placeholder for you for maybe a while, you know, a year or something. So it is Jeffrey for Hilton. But I still think I might lean the Jeffrey side because more like a true wide receiver one. I know you're talking points and last year.
Yes.
When was the last time Hilton was a wide receiver one? I don't think you could yell at anybody for either side of this. But,
well, and that was actually my point, Jeremy. What I was trying to say was I don't believe that it's a trash dynasty trade. I agree with you that it's essentially Alshon for T.Y.,
pretty even, you know, which guy do you like better? It's not a trash dynasty trade offer at all.
Yeah. So, all right. So then good. Let's
just if anyone's happened to listening, be listening. I'll be looking for a new producer and co-host beginning next week. So yeah. Hit me up.
Dude, it's not the it's not the first time that we've disagreed on stuff. So
he loves it when we disagree with him, though. That's what he can't stand it when we agree with him. You know that.
I know. Listen, okay, Shane, you are correct. That was a trash dynasty trade offer. Let's move on. Does that make you feel better?
He's happy now.
I'll go back and forth on the microphone so you hear it in the left ear and the right ear. So we were gonna talk about auctions. And before we talk about auctions, though, do you want to talk about your FFPC? Since you've already talked about the trades, why don't you talk about the leagues?
Well, it's not my FFPC, because if it was, I got to be honest with you, I probably wouldn't be doing a podcast.
I think you actually still would do a podcast, though, but go ahead.
Yeah.
I would do as many as I could. If I actually had enough money to retire from work, I would do multiple podcasts.
I agree.
And I might even start doing another one with you guys, but we could talk about that later, Patreon.
Sweet.
FFPC, the fastest growing dynasty football website, Dynasty Football Factory, has joined forces with the biggest high stakes fantasy football platform on the planet, the FFPC. DFF is proud to offer these exciting new dynasty high-stake leagues in an exclusive partnership with the FFPC. Leagues start at just $77, but the sky is the limit. Take your game to the next level. Think you have what it takes? Then raise the stakes. Go to dynastyfootballfactory.com and click on the FFPC logo and sign up today. Make sure you let them know that Dynasty Football Factory referred you.
All right. So great. So like we said, in the beginning of the show, we talked about Shane's prepared statement where he apologized in the auction draft that he's going on in. So we thought tonight that we would talk a little bit about auction drafts and some of the tips and some of the, in Shane's case, some of the mistakes that we've realized that we make during an auction draft. So, I mean, right now you guys are in that high stakes auction draft. I'm in a kitchen sink one and my home league is starting an auction draft on Friday. So Shane, what have you learned besides the mistake that you did make? What did you want to tell some people about auction drafts?
Well, I'll be honest with you, man. I learned that there's a thing called a hardened salary cap, and you need to be
I'm not in a lot.
Thanks, Jeremy.
I haven't done a lot of auction leagues. I believe this is probably my second or third or maybe fourth. I forget. It's not a lot. Honestly, you know, obviously I'm more adept at drafting. So I have simple tips because I'm a simple man, as I've been told repeatedly by most of the people that talk to me. So I am big on nominating players I don't want because I want to get them on the board and get people spending money on players I don't give a shit about. So in this particular, or not just players that I don't give a shit about, players that I don't have to have on my team, guys that are kind of trending on Twitter. So Marvin Jones has been getting a lot of chatter on Twitter and fantasy columns. And that's just a whole aside. Isn't it weird how we all just start liking the same people at the same time? Like, groupthink is a thing.
Absolutely.
It's literally like whisper down the lane. And I'm not criticizing any one person, but it's just funny because it's like, oh, here come all the Kenyon Drake is undervalued articles. Okay. Here come all the Jai, you know, articles about him being undervalued. It's just funny. I mean, and I guess I understand how it starts, but it's just funny.
It's anyway. Great. It goes along with the ADP too. You start doing some ADP stuff and then all of a sudden everybody starts believing it. So it is true. This whole industry and all the people that listen to each other talk, they all do that. And what you said about nominating people, Jeremy actually did that to you then in this draft that you guys are doing. Right, Jeremy?
Yes, you did.
I did. I kicked off the nominations with Saquon Barkley and Carson Wentz, knowing full well that my man Shane was going to go after both of those players. If I could have nominated Amari Cooper and Corey Davis and Royce Freeman, I would have done those too. But it was a tip of my hat to Shane. I think he saw it, probably was like, thanks, man.
I will say this. There is a flip side to that, and my home league has always been auction. So I've been doing auction for about 7 years with them. Yeah. And there are some times where, yes, I throw some guys out there that I know I don't want and I know people will get money. But if I have a certain amount of money left and there's somebody that I need or I want, the way our league works is you have restricted players and stuff like that. Sometimes I actually like to have my player that I know I'm going to spend the most money go out first, because mm-hmm. I want to know that I've got the player, I've spent whatever money I had to spend, and now I could go forward with spending money. Because sometimes if there's a guy that I want, if I'm waiting for him to come up, it's going to hold me back on bidding on some of the players that are up right now because I'm concerned about what I'm going to have to pay for the specific guy that I want. So there are times where I would like to throw somebody out there that I want right at the beginning so that I can get it over with.
It gives you a baseline. I mean, you set a benchmark for what you're going to spend and where you're going to go. I mean, it gives you a good path to follow. I agree. I don't have any players yet in this auction. Zero players won. So I've got several bids out all at once.
Well, the other problem I find sometimes, though, is if you're waiting, then you're letting players go by. And then when your player come up and if you don't win him, then you've missed out on some players. And again, like we always say, if this was a video podcast, people would see Shane making faces and gestures and everything. So what is it, Shane? You don't agree with that? Or I just got a middle finger, too. But go ahead. Something to add to that, Shane?
No, I'm just thinking in general, like there's not any one player that I'm actually tied to in an auction. It's mm-hmm. different for me in a draft in that sense, because every player, there's a threshold. Once they get to it, I'm like, you won. Good for you.
Exactly.
I'm not bidding anymore.
Exactly how I play it too. It's almost getting something on eBay that I really want, but I already know in my heart of hearts how much I'm willing to pay. And if somebody goes beyond it, hey, more power to them. They can have them. I don't get attached to players in auctions. I have a value in mind, and I like it when guys when owners go for their guys, because they're the ones that are out there. You can rope a dope them, you know. You put out all those players, like you said, that you don't want. You nominate them, and those guys are out there punching themselves out, spending all their money, and then you can come in later on and get really good players for a hell of a lot less than they should go for.
Well,
don't take that. I'm going to cut you off again, Michael, because I haven't done it lately. So don't take that to mean that there's not guys that I don't want on my, or how should I say this? That doesn't mean that there's not guys that I'm not targeting. There's not, you know, there is that. There are guys that, you know, obviously I hope they land on my team. So if anyone would have bid any $1 more on Saquon Barkley, I wasn't bidding on him again.
Well,
it was as simple as that, but that didn't happen. You know, there's other guys on the board and I don't want to talk, you know, that, obviously, if the price is right, I'm fine with going to get them. There's, you know, and obviously there's players I want But if someone wants them more, they can have them, and I'll go get another player.
Oh, exactly. Corey Davis, Amari Cooper. I mean, you guys spent some big bucks on those guys.
Well, so but look.
I didn't, look, and you know, you know how I feel about Amari and Corey in drafting leagues, and I don't think I bid on either of them after the restart.
Well, I love that there was a restart. That's hilarious. Yeah, but I will say this, though. What I'm more along the lines talking about is, yes, granted, a lot of people are like you say, Shane, where you don't care about any one specific player. But there are a lot of people that do care about certain players, myself included. I want to have players on my team that I enjoy to watch, and it's fun for me to watch them. So I was just throwing out another point of view in that if there is somebody that you want, sometimes it's better to get them out there so that you get that money bid, you know? So you don't have to wait around, you know? And whether that's right or wrong, I don't know, but that's the way I like to do it. I know one of the other things that yeah, and one of the other things that we talked about too, it's very strange because different leagues are different ways. And some leagues have these group chats, whether it's on Twitter or whether it's on Voxer or any of those kind of apps. And one thing that seems to be very polarizing with people is discussions during a draft. Like when you're doing an auction draft and then somebody goes in the group chat, holy crap, I can't believe Le'Veon Bell's only at 100. He should be 150. And then people start bidding and then you get pissed because your guy was there. I mean, what do you guys feel about discussions and talking about while a draft is going on?
We disallowed it. We disallowed it in this league because we didn't think it was appropriate. I mean, I get that people enjoy that and, you know, they get shitty and they like the strategy and they bust their buddy's balls and it's just ha-ha funny, you know, but it's just kind of a shitty thing to do, I think. And it does affect how it's a tactic that affects the values on the board, but it's unnecessary, I think. The way that I look at it is it's Bush League shit. It's like not NASCAR. It's, you know, the Bush series. It's just it's stuff that you don't need to do when you have a $300 million salary cap and lots of money. You don't need to pull that stunt. And so we just put the kibosh on it. But I've been in auction drafts where that's the game that everybody plays. Like, Shane's getting Amari Cooper for, you know, $2 million. We gotta raise the bid, right? And you know, even though we don't want him, and that's what guys do. I don't like it though.
You feel that same way, Shane?
No. As I continue to learn from marriage counseling, it's important that I communicate my feelings. And I explain what is in my head because she's not a mind reader and that's not our job.
Also,
it's, you know, it's okay to say I'm not in the mood some nights. I am
wait,
not.
Wait, Shane, come back, sorry. Come back. Wait, we're talking about auctions. No.
Shane, physically.
No, stop. We're talking about auctions. Do you agree?
I agree with people discussing it. I got to be honest with you. Here's the thing. I don't care about board talk because I disregard most of what people say because most of what people say is them talking out of their ass.
Yeah.
And I say that not just towards people I'm in leagues with, just in general life. Most people talk out of their asses and don't know what they're talking about, but just like to talk. So I honestly disregard a lot of what people say. I'm okay with, like, honestly, if I have a player out there, it's about to go off the board in 30 seconds. Like, to me, that's kind of fun if someone jumps into the group chat and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe Shane's going to get Amari Cooper for a nickel and a half. Like, to me, that's kind of like, oh shit, is he going to go through? Like, I like that kind of like, just keep refresh. Like, he didn't drop to the bottom, right? He's on my roster. Like, that's all part of the game to me. So respect the game.
Well,
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Well, that goes back to another thing that you discussed about that price enforcement, or what did you call it prior? What did you call it, Shane? When somebody thinks they have to bid on something because it's too low?
Yeah, so like that's not your job.
But what did you call it? What was it called?
I believe it's called price enforcing.
Is it price enforcing? So, okay. So what do you think about price enforcing?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, as a singularity, as a person, I don't think singularity refers to a person. So that's completely wrong. But I've done it in a few of the auctions that I've been in where I'm like, oh no, that's way too cheap. I don't really want him, but he shouldn't go off the board at that amount. And then I've bid up the player, and then no one else bid on him, and I get stuck with him, and I'm like, oh, well, that kind of sucked for me. So remember, it's not your job to make sure that players are going off the board at a price that you feel is commensurate with their, you know, with their value. If someone's going off the board for too low and you want them, feel free to go in there and bid. But if it's a guy that you're not particularly enamored with, don't raise the bid just because you don't think they should be going off the board that low. And that's literally the only tips I have for auctions, because I am not that smart and I am not in that many auctions.
I think you're doing fine, man. I borrow upon all those same things you mentioned. I mean, I think they're great tactics, nominating players you don't really want to draft because, or I mean, you don't want to win or pay for their salaries. But, you know, if you nominate those players, it's easy. You're nominating them at a minimum bid, then somebody's obviously going to pay more than that. So you get those players up there and other teams are buying them, and then that gives you more. You're not going to buy them, especially not for an initial nomination. And then you get to buy players that you want later on. But that price enforcing, definitely not a negative. I mean, you have to raise the price up to a certain point that you're willing to pay for that player. But then, yeah, you don't want to get stinky about it because you might get stuck with a guy you didn't want just trying to raise the price, of course. That's the negative. But you and I are bidding back and forth right now. It's pretty funny. You and I are going back and forth on Nick Chubb and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, did you just raise that? Well, here's the funny part. There's two running backs that I kept bidding on. And finally, someone reached a level where I'm like, nah, he's yours, son. So I moved on to the guys that you just happened to put up.
Well, one thing I was going to ask you, Jeremy, because you just said you have to. Do you really have to? I mean, is it no, but what I'm saying is if somebody is about to get a really good price on a player, but it's not necessarily a player that you even care about, do you really have to go in there and do something to make sure
money? Have to. I mean, it's just you feel compelled to do it. And as long as you do it early on and don't get stuck with a player you don't want, it's perfectly fine. It's a great strategy. There's nothing negative about it. It's just part of the game. That's what gets you to the level, you know, of comfort somebody's willing to pay. But yeah, if you see a player that's too low, you bid them up, because as long as you think the likelihood is great that that player bids again, you know what I mean? Amari Cooper, for
instance.
Amari Cooper, you know somebody's going to go pretty high. You have sort of a reference point for it. So yeah, if you think he's going too low, you maybe bid him up, 50 cents, let's say. Keep it going. And what's the worst thing that happens? As long as you haven't spent too much money, you know, you get Amari Cooper. But I say you don't take the risk on just any player. A player you're comfortable getting, of course, or winning.
Well, going back to what Shane said, where he says he thinks it's exciting and fun and everything, that 30, like, no, but I'm saying like a minute left of his auction, somebody comes in and goes over him. Do you guys agree with that? Do you, I mean, some of these auctions, like one of the auctions, that kitchen sink I'm in is a 24-hour clock, which is horrible. Because you waited 24 hours, you wait 23 and a half hours, and then somebody comes in and bids over you with 30 minutes left, and oh my God, you got to wait another 24 hours. Do you think it's actually people are doing that to screw with you, or are they doing it because, oh, at the last minute they decide they want it and you guys are okay with that, or what?
Yeah, here's the thing. One, they're doing what's allowed in the rules. So all is fair in love and war. And two, if it gets under your skin and you let it, and it also happens to just, you know, mess you up mentally where you're going to get all vindictive and go out of yourself and try to outbid me on other players. Well, that's fine too. I don't care. Like, I've seen people complain about it and, you know, in leagues that I'm in. I don't care if someone's doing it to be vindictive. I don't care if someone just realized like, oh man, that's a good deal. And I like that player. Like, I didn't realize he was going off the board that much and they outbid me. It is what it is. If I want the player, bid more. It's an auction. It's not a draft. There's no excuse not to get a player you want.
If
you want that player,
yeah,
then you bid the most. Simple as that.
The context for me, too, is that if I miss out on a guy that I was bidding on in, you know, the last minutes, or somebody wins them or bids them up, and then I look at the next guy on my list and he happens to only have a few minutes left in the auction and I bid on him, I'm not doing that to – affect anyone except that I want that player on my team. And I just think guys get too like emotional about this stuff, like, and take it personal. I mean, it's not personal. Everybody's trying to build a team. It's an auction draft. You have to expect this stuff. And if I didn't win a player, then somebody else wanted to pay more for him. I don't care if there's a minute left. I mean,
exactly. Here's the other thing. I think most people are narcissists like me. So I don't know that most people do things because they care how it'll affect someone else. Most people are doing things just because they want to do it for themselves. And exactly like you said, I'm not bidding on this player because I hope it makes you angry and it makes you kick a door. If it does, all the more better for me. And you should probably look into some anger management counseling.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I just consider myself to be savvy enough. And like Sipes, you've played fantasy football for years. Shane, you too. But, you know, Sipes outweighs us by several years. But,
yeah, thank you. I get that it was my birthday, and I get that I'm 50 now.
Happy birthday, brother.
Yeah, thank you.
We don't talk about our personal lives on the show.
Yeah, whatever. But he brought it up by saying I'm way older than you guys. So, but go ahead.
Happy birthday to you, man.
Thank you.
The thing is, that experience matters.
Yes.
You can't just start playing Dynasty Leagues without any feel for it and expect to start winning and out-strategizing people and getting into it. But I've since this auction draft we're doing started, there are guys approaching this with like mathematical strategies and like calculated everything. Now, I go into it with some calculated risks that I'm willing to take. Hey, I think these players are probably going to go for this much. These players over here, people are going to be willing to pay a lot of money for. And there's some thinking to it, some tactical stuff. But, you can't go into an auction draft with any preconceived notions. You're still just building a team and spending your money. And I think guys go into it with too much, I don't want to say scripted. What's the word I'm struggling to find here? But they're going into it with too much written down or
a structured plan that they don't want to deviate from.
Yeah, you have to be a little bit more savvy.
Jeremy,
flexible.
Jeremy,
and win an on.
If you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
You have to be flexible or people are going to run all over you.
Well, look, I'll say this. I agree with you with experience because I'm older than you guys and I've done this for a long time. And one thing, when I say some of these things, it doesn't necessarily mean that I think that. It's just more about bringing it up to the people that are listening that may not have some of the experiences that we have. And I do know that people do take it personally. When somebody goes in there and bids on some of their players, they think, oh my God, they're going after me. But that's not necessarily the way it is. The other thing that happens with some people that are in auctions is you're in an auction. You want to build the best team that you can. If that means you have to bid on somebody else's player, then you got to bid on that person's player. You can't go, oh, I don't want to hurt Shane's feelings, so I'm not going to bid on his player because I know he's going to come after one of my other players. You can't think that way. You have to build your team the way you want to do it, and you have to bid on the players that you want. And I think some people hold back because they don't want to upset somebody or hurt somebody's feelings. And I think I just want to tell people that if you're doing these auctions, do what you have to do to get the guys that you want. That was essentially my point.
I think some guys approach it like they're taking a road trip, their family on a vacation, and they got scheduled stops and all these things built in, when it's really more like whitewater rafting. You know, you got to take things as they come to you.
Let's go to Wally World.
As you go. Wally World, let's do it.
Yeah.
I've never been whitewater rafting. I got to think it's a little harder than auction drafting.
I think it probably is too, but I've never been whitewater rafting either. But,
look, here's what I would say. Look, I don't fault anyone for having a set plan. If that's what works for them and that's what they're comfortable with, that's fine. Like I said, I don't care what you do. And I mean that in not in a vindictive way. Just do you, man. Whatever works. If that works for you, then that's fine. Just understand that I'm going to redline you, and it's really not to piss you off. Like you said, Sipes, like you said, JB, like, I don't want to piss you off. If you happen to get pissed off, I mean, I'm sorry. But, you know, anyone that knows me knows that I'm generally a peacemaker, so I'm clearly not trying to do this to get under your skin. But if it happens to get under your skin and you screw up, well, cool.
It is funny.
It serves the laid back guys though. Like it more like surfing. Like I use whitewater rafting or kayaking, but like surfing, there's an ebb and a flow to it. you can't call the wave. Hey, wave, come now. I'm going to surf you. You wait till the wave comes and you surf the wave. It's the same thing. There's an ebb and a flow to these auction drafts. No, really, guys. There's an ebb and a flow. You can't. There's so many factors you can't control other than what you do when the time comes. And I don't know. I just think people need to be more laid back about auctions altogether and just let things come to you and, you know.
No, I agree. And wave, I just say, you know, I used to get very angry. I used to take it personally. And when I got past that, it's a much more fun experience. One of the things that I've done with auctions, and I don't know how many other people do it out there, is there's a lot of people that you either go into an auction. When you say a structured plan, it's one thing when you have like, I want this guy, this guy, this guy, which is very difficult to do. But you can either go into an auction and freewheel it, like, oh, I'm just going to bid on everybody and hopefully I have enough money.
Willy-nilly.
Yeah. Or the way I've always done it, and I'm pointing to the computer screen, which doesn't help anybody, but I have like an Excel spreadsheet that has the budget built in, and I stick the players in my spreadsheet, and then when I'm bidding on players, I change prices around, and at least it gives me a general idea of how much money I have and how much I can bid on a certain player without overbidding on the money I have. And
you know my fantasy league, I actually do that for you, right?
Well, I know they'll do that, but when you do it the way I do it, at least it shows me that I've already got 2 quarterbacks, 3 running backs, 5 wide receivers. I've got X amount of money. I've got these spaces left. But it's just the way I do it. I'm not saying it's definitely the right way or wrong way.
You know what? That's what makes you comfortable, and that's how you feel the best way to approach it is, man, go for it.
Right, and then there's other people that just go out there and bid on every person that's on the board, and hey, I like that guy, I'll throw $100, and I like that guy, I'll throw $10, and then eventually they build a team, but sometimes they don't have enough running backs or enough wide receivers because they were just kind of going at it, you know.
And I'll tell you what, I'd argue that if you're the kind of player that wants to go after all your guys and get all your guys, that your favorite players, then you know, maybe auctions for you, because it's a marketplace. I mean, you know,
oh, believe me,
get the guys you want.
It's way better than a snake league. If you want specific guys, auction is the only way to go,
because
you get screwed in snakes all the time.
Yeah, I love the market. Yep.
All right, great show, guys.
Cool. Well, before we wrap up it.
End of show alert.
Before we wrap up everything, we did want to say that we got a couple really great reviews this week on iTunes. And we got one from Coach Smith 33, and he said the chemistry between Shane, Sipes, and Jeremy make this a must listen to podcast. All three bring great insight and advice to help give you an advantage over your league mates. Well, maybe not Shane. But seriously, a great listen, definitely worth subscribing. Keep up the great work, gents. And it's from Caleb from Atlanta. So thanks, Caleb. That's really great. And Shane.
Yeah, we really appreciate that, Caleb.
Yeah, Shane, I didn't add that Shane part. It's in parentheses in his little thing. So, we really appreciate that and all the feedback we're getting from everybody. So if you like us or like sometimes if you don't like us, you know, head on over to iTunes, give us a rate and review. It helps us out. Shane's about to tell you, don't review if you don't like us.
Then don't listen. Don't give us a negative rating because I'm going to find you. I will. Real quick, we had a review from some 11-toed guy a few weeks back, and apparently I made a comment that made him feel bad about his 11th toe. I just wanted to let you know I don't take that comment back at all. But everyone else,
of you listening, that guy is in the high stakes auction draft that they're in right now.
But please,
we'll just say it's Brad, and that's all we're gonna say.
I in a moment of sincerity, sincerity. I just want to say that we do appreciate and do need all your reviews, and we really truly appreciate you taking the time to leave us a review, because you could do anything else in that moment and you decided to give us a review and you didn't have to, and we appreciate it big time.
It makes us all happy, especially Shane. So
inside
what
in my special places.
Oh my God. All right. Well, and even though everybody already knows, Shane, where can they find us?
They can find us on the Dynasty Football. Well, don't put the, because it won't come up, but put dynastyfootballfactory.com. Our podcasts are housed on there, all 20-something episodes. You can find us on the DF Network, the Podbean, the Stitcher.
Okay, never mind. They can find us everywhere.
Pod it's Paradise. Fine. Yeah. Be on the lookout for all the other Dynasty Football Factory podcasts. We've got a revamped Superflex Bowl show coming up. We got a Rookie Fever show coming up. Check out some of the existing long-term old heads like Dynasty Warzone, which is also under new management, with our boy Outlaw, who has been killing it lately. We still got the Capology, the Devi Watch. Don't forget to check out the FF Fellas. If I missed any, my apologies. Love you.
Yeah, and Jeremy, before we wrap it up, though, why don't you tell everybody about the Scouting Academy?
Yes, the Scouting Academy. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch, and probably Shane Manila too. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from NFL execs and coaches with over 350 years of NFL experience. Not one person has 350 years, but cumulatively, they have accrued 350 years of NFL experience and 14 Lombardi trophies between them. They're all here to teach you. Scout NFL football like a pro and join the Academy. The Scouting Academy. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DFF. Look for the Scouting Academy logo on our website and save yourself some money and get educated.
Well, you know, I'll say this. We're going into July where it's a very lull in real NFL. There's not a lot going on. Everybody's on their vacation. So we're going to be around here, and hopefully we really appreciate you guys listening to the show. And we're gearing up to get into the regular season, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So thanks for listening. Thanks for rating and reviewing us and sending us messages on our Twitter handle at Dynasty Trades HQ. And we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, take care, guys.
One love.
Bye.
One love.